This ROFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Good afternoon and welcome. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome to Shoutopedia. I'm Shoutopedia here on today's show. On today's show. We will talk about Winston Peters' apology after Winston Peters suffered a massive racist attack against a Chinese MP. First of all, coming up for my show right now, I'm gonna play Peter by Ariana Grande on Jada Pia on our event.
Trying to feel something real to cry again. They say the artist needs tears to write again. Cause all of my favorite stories end in some kind of catastrophe. But I don't need someone to save me. Cause this music and I will never die. It's such a fox situation.
That's... That was Peter by Ariana Grande on Charge of Peter on Era Even Bright. Right. I watched Trevor Bryant interview Granny Belong Zunan on TMZ the other day. I went to his hard department. I know he just came here 5 months ago. Go back to your own country. Outside apartment, Peter stumbled down. He's only been here for 5 minutes. I can't even speak the language. He only been here for 5 minutes. He can't even speak the language properly. Mm-hmm. Oh, Brian, super fair. Kids asking Sunan if Peter has been arrested. Sunan gives privacy to green policy. Oh, Brian. How did you feel when you hear someone, not just someone, activity prime minister saying something like that? Sunan, for 6 7 days of the team to destroy New Zealand's chief Granny Hammer government's TV. We need it is criminalizing homelessness or seeking public conversation land. I'm like, dude, homelessness, public conversation, just like Pierce has been racist, it is just completely out of order. I've been out of order in any workplace in the country. Pierce wears a sacrificial words. Anyone you, if a major 5 years and trades, by that way, church, I change, like, or residents, or anyone, vague agent, or general Pacific Rim. Watch your face, door closed, and declare repercussions. So why is the doctor, firefighter allowed to make racism in my apartment no less on TV? I've been trying to compete this and show you that my stomach is deemed racist. Your news and visitors is racing the polls soon and answers. For being short, hold us ministers accountable for your behavior patterns. Behavioral patterns, not racism. Split it out and said he offers his tax in the super wealthy and beautiful service other first. I'm like, dude, super wealthy purposes are not subject to color death. He tries to seek an allegedly being painted to buy news and face. But news says will never say painted to racist because they will never say painted to racist because painted sounds too much like a panda, which is both Chinese and a double, which is impossible concept for news and face to understand. O'Brien tries again. Where do you consider your own country as one of the people said Sunan Peters is keep kidding me communities? And her sister, migrants are not all Asians and migrants and not all migrants get racism. O'Brien tries again. Many of us myself, including mobile own countries, through right. So what I was saying, instead of naming countries in around the bullet points benefit cuts to 80 or 19 year olds with a severe mental health issues or cancer, criminalizing homelessness, transphobia and ableism. Again, I did a bonus love you yourself to just say your countries, just say your country is New Zealand or everywhere, and that's what makes this country great. You'll be asked about racism in the highest level of government. As purposes, as policy, don't talk about benefits or teenagers or transphobic trillions. If I question this racism, answer about racism. Finds are popping in my head, not sure why this allusion to a word when he has been the victim of a racist attack live on Parliament on TV. We all saw it. He doesn't utter the R word once. Then the light bulb flashes in my head and lantern if you will. Wonder if it's a Chinese thing, could be a Chinese thing, not want to quite racism to be stuck. Don't think the boys see he shoot you. Don't you get accused of playing a victim card. The bribery later becomes fireworks. It has been a total hypocrite. Mm-hmm. There are two occasions where I have been told to go back to your own country. Once on the radio random in corny places shook me up. And the other time was by Winston Peters to my face apartment. I never talked about it publicly. It was the 90s. And they've just done a subject debate in parliament. Peters wasn't up here, but he'd been watching it, and otherwise he considered me here among the other things. Told me to go back to my own country. I was in shock, to be fair, and the subject some of my jokes. And fear was a worst self glacier quite around 70 debates. Everyone was expected to take whenever silence and errors came their way, but he didn't say on the stage. It was in my face, intimate and humorless. I didn't react at all, but my thought was I can never complain of others, I told myself. Rose code. My attitude has now realized even in preview of Newsom's first policy at the time for mistaken for comedy was a great way to address racism. I made a joke at the time on TV about Newsom's first unlike a lot of 90s comedy for jokes that remains relevant for the twin. It was a TV comedy gala in 1996, probably 2,000 people in the room. It was a big deal for me. I wonder, actually, by me, if News and Vest wanted to let you know, send me back where I came from, AZA, to go back to Fairworld Masterton. He says 90s comedy doesn't age well, if only his how dealt with things at the time. He has no right to tell on soon and how to react to racism, Asian New Zealanders, and Murrow. Each of us chooses our own response. I was missing nobody applied to react a certain way. My his reactions to long senior responses came from his unresolved business. But today, he challenged the media to ask new service candidate on every college bar with those questions. Question number one. Which one's the best or Shane's racist statements is your personal favourite? It has to be Shane Jones. Mama, two short Asian New Zealanders have the same rights to participate in society or politics, why not? I don't think so, because Asians should be seen back or have to be assimilated into New Zealand culture. Mama, three, which Asians do you dislike the most for butter chicken variety, for poached chicken with soy sauce, ginger, spring, onion variety? It has to be butter chicken variety because Indians are taking over Masterton and actually, Indians are taking over everywhere in a country where once owned by white people. Mama, for what's your favourite thing about racism? Please provide high warning examples. My favourite thing about racism is white supremacy. Mama, five, do you have any historical evidence to those other countries? Then why don't you go back there instead of campaigning for a change for New Zealand? This one is the first has a government for a majority of NEP. Why can't you just be grateful? No, because my family is absolutely New Zealand European because one of my great grandfathers ended up moved to New Zealand as a kid. Alongside Aaron, who moved to New Zealand as also a kid. and also my mum's side are from Comfort Ocean. because when my great mum ancestors immigrated from Dublin Island to send in the penal colony in Tasmania, and other that one of his grandsons moved to New Zealand and with his history. So I am both from English and Irish descent. So why for the next song I'll be playing for today is Camera by Charlie XCX on Charger Pedia on Error If It. Right, that was Shay XCX camera on Jada Pedia on Arrow FM. Shamey. Jamie Enzo joins the Fun Fight to discuss backlash and Luxor's relationship with his caucus and why the Prime Minister is also under pressure from Winston Peters. My mum wouldn't have said last day, why can't I say Winston Peters? Quite a sec. Why can't I fucking sack Winston Peters? But Chris Luxon won't because he's blood and too stubborn. Because Chris Luxon is a hypocrite.
Prime Prime Minister is in debt.
First of all, Hoovier polls are probably potential for a return of a Labour League government in the future. That is a new Chris, I need to give your shit together to improve your poll results, otherwise he's going to lose it. And because the opportunity has really worked out wrong with New Zealand Face, because Wesley Peters had a bit too racist to work with after she was to say about Wesley Peters go along soon and go back to China. We are showing the party did for over not to work with New Zealand First. But the opportunity passed by by Asian. Because we can't have Asians be leaders, I'm going to back Winston because he's a true New Zealand patriot at last. About hope. Hope will be just be an issue in New Zealand First government with because I heard both of out of a mayor party wants to take women back to the 1900s. What a take was work rights because broke without it as the most anti-worker politician in parliament. Thank God he stepped down after election, so I won't have to see the ugly darky face ever again. I'm going to pop cross your eyes now to New Zealand Herald.
Say at that Rotorua event.
Yeah, so it was actually quite a lengthy event. There was a long Q&A session. The Prime Minister said that overall it went really well, that they had a really engaging conversation. But there's been one part of it that has attracted the headlines. And so one of the business leaders present at the event spoke to the Prime Minister about declining business confidence, rising prices. And the Prime Minister essentially responded by saying that was a negative view. He shifted the blame onto businesses, saying that they needed to be retooling, innovating, radically disrupting is the way that he put it. And if they weren't doing that to their own business, then they essentially weren't doing their job. He highlighted that he thought that in New Zealand there was a parent-child type of mentality between government and business. And he took quite a critical tone of those who come to government and ask for the likes of grants. He said that businesses needed to act like adults. To be fair, he also highlighted that it was his role as the Prime Minister to create economic conditions. He highlighted some ways that he believes that the government is doing that well. But the big takeaway was that quite dismissive tone from Christopher Luxon, which essentially shifted the blame onto business and, in his words, didn't really take a lot of responsibility himself for the troubles that some of them might be facing.
Yeah, what's the reaction been from the business community?
Yeah, so one of the business owners or the business leaders that was at the event said that she understood the perspective that the Prime Minister was putting forward, but, you know, that didn't take away from the tough environment that they're currently trading in. A lot of other business leaders have been less kind than that. They've said that the comments were patronising, condescending. The Labour Party, they aren't business owners, but they have said that it was out of touch for the Prime Minister to make those sort of comments. One of the manufacturing bosses that Herald Now has spoken to said that those comments left him disappointed. He believed that National hadn't, turned the economy around after what he said was its destruction by the Labour government. He said that he's voted for National his whole life, but he won't be doing that at the November 7 election. So a lot of strong feelings from the business community.
Yeah, Luxon has since apologised. He admitted that he didn't properly acknowledge the challenges that many small business owners are facing. I mean, how much of a gaffe do you think this is, given he is the National Party leader?
Yeah, I think that's the key point, is that this is a National leader making comments about businesses. You know, National really should have business as their core base. It's kind of like how the Labour Party has workers and the unions. National should be putting business kind of front of mind. They are their base of their support. So for a National leader to make these dismissive comments about business owners and their feelings and the trading environment that they are in, really stood out. And I think that is why he did end up coming out and apologising, is he realised the level of backlash, and he realised that, you know, it was just untenable for a National Party leader to be making these types of comments to the people that are really their target audience.
Yeah, what does it say that he actually came out and apologised for this? We don't see a leader, even just politicians in general, doing that too often.
Yeah, no, you're right. The Prime Minister has in the past apologised when he's, you know, made some communication errors. So we should note that, you know, there is kind of precedent for that. But you're right that it is interesting that he felt the need to proactively apologise at his post-cabinet press conference earlier in the day when he was speaking on the radio. He had instead expressed some disappointment in how those comments had been reported. He said he hadn't intended to create offence, but he didn't initially apologise. So that suggests that something developed throughout the day. And I tried to ask the Prime Minister about that at his press conference. What switched up throughout the day to lead you to apologise? And essentially he just said that he had looked over the transcript and realised that he could have expressed himself better. But you would think that probably behind the scenes, some of his caucus colleagues, some of his ministerial colleagues may have made some comments to him about kind of the gravity of the error that he made, the gravity of saying that type of thing as the National Party leader, and that may have, you know, led him to then realise that he needed to own up and change his approach.
I thought it was interesting as well for someone who, I mean, he's obviously often been criticised for, you know, referring to himself as the country's CEO a couple of times and, you know, getting away from this kind of CEO speak. But at that business event, he said, look, something along the lines of, when I was CEO, I didn't look to the Prime Minister for this and that. So it's just like, it's interesting that he kind of keeps slipping back into this kind of chief executive mode, and almost like a mistake. It's just kind of second nature, and maybe that's what he's seen. He's like, oh, that was another slip up.
Yeah, I think that's right. And one of the comments that the Prime Minister made was that he said that when he was working in Chicago, you know, he didn't go to government as a CEO and ask for things. I mean, first of all, it should be noted that at least according to what we see on public records and the Prime Minister's public resume, he wasn't actually a CEO when he was in Chicago. He was a senior business leader at Unilever, but he didn't have the CEO title. He got that eventually when he moved to Canada. But it also should be noted that, you know, the Prime Minister does have a lot of business experience, but it's mostly in these bigger corporates, the likes of Air New Zealand. He isn't known to have had heaps of experience in a smaller business like many of those he would have been speaking to in Rotorua. We put that to him in the press conference yesterday, and he was like, essentially, that he goes to a lot of small businesses. He meets a lot of these small business owners, so he has grown to understand their difficulties, what they face on a day-to-day level, but he himself doesn't have kind of that experience that others may have.
I saw that the press gallery was up at the crack of dawn this morning to try and doorstop MPs as they arrived at Parliament and different politicians. Doorstopping essentially just means randomly just walking up to them without their knowledge and asking them a question, right? For those who aren't right. aware of the term. It looks like he still has the full support of his caucus.
Yeah, I mean, publicly, everyone's coming out and saying that, look, you know, Christopher Luxon's apologised, that's kind of the end of the matter. There have been a few who said, you know, he could have expressed himself better. Probably the strongest was actually Erica Stanford this morning, saying that she understood those comments caused a lot of hurt and upset to businesses. But yeah, no, all the MPs came out and were publicly backing the Prime Minister. Of course, they'll be quite cognizant of the reality and the feeling that will have led to amongst some of the businesses in their electorates, and they'll be happy that the Prime Minister has kind of put that to bed by apologising.
In terms of leadership worries, I mean, I haven't heard too much about this, but we're less than 100 days out from the election. Is it just far too late for a leadership spill now?
No, I mean, we aren't yet, I don't believe, at the equivalent point in the cycle as when Jacinda Ardern took over in 2017. We haven't reached that point yet. Of course, it is different. You know, we're talking about potentially getting rid of a sitting prime minister as opposed to a opposition leader, like when Jacinda Ardern replaced Andrew Little in 2017. So, you know, anything can happen. That is the case in politics. And as we get closer to the election, National will be continually looking at that polling and considering whether they could make any change in order to improve it. Another milestone that will be coming up sometime shortly is the party list. That could potentially throw a spanner in the works. You know, some people may not get high enough list ranking. They may be not happy with that, and that may spill out into the public forum. That may lead to repercussions for the party's leadership. So there are a few things to continue to look at. I guess one of the things that will probably be in the back of minds of some MPs is, will Christopher Luxon say something of a similar magnitude when he is out on the election campaign trail? Will he go into a debate and make a comment that causes the same sort of reaction? That is going to be something that they will be considering as we head into that election.
See, Chris Luxon need to put out some magic in the election campaigns if you want to improve our podcasting. Get better, Governor, second team. I was surprised Chris Luxon never had small business experience. He only had big corporate CEO experience, like his first real CEO job was in Canada before going into Air New Zealand. because Chris Luxon trying to turn a comedy around, like right now, because Ivan New Zealand is in a far much better position in Australia at the moment. Which can slow down a brain drain and could lead fewer kids move to Australia. Because I record brain drain to Australia between 2024 and 2025. It is all past economic runs of the last Labor government. Which is a drive record Kiwi immigration. Immigration, hope. Thumbs up for National News Service. Right now, I'm going to play. Right now, I'm going to play the first one, Over the Line by E-Race on Chartopedia on Arrow Evening.
Strive to win if you watch the music.
that was first on overflown by Airways. Okay, there's a drum at okay. Okay, there's a drum at Joseph Bonham, a son of John Bonham from Lead Zeppelin. Jeez. Jeez, Airways is the most unbrave band. It's like American sounding British fan. It's like typical of Iran glam metal. Too long. You mean we're gonna make it too long? And right, Donald Trump says he's canceled tries to get Iran a part of the deal is rapidly within the country. And the point of true social for US President CD had been asked by Iran and other countries in the Middle East to hold off on any attack for rare matters of a deal have been agreed. Trump's comments came to the reports that the US and Israel may be planning a new intense attack on Iran, and it's not the first time as Trump has issued a cryptic warnings. Only subsequent instance diplomacy was given the chance. Iran's senior official Mir News actually denied that Tehran asked the US to hold off any further military action, saying Trump's claims were nothing but a new lie. I'm going to talk to myself, nothing but a new lie. Iran said in the investment as much as urban outrage as Tehran feared even freed from its advisory is credible, even a form part of a psychological warfare. We'll never be caught off guard, nor remain passive. He added, Various times, five reports in the US media that US and Israel are planning what could be one of the hardest bombing campaigns to date against energy infrastructure targets in Iran. The plane came out during Trump's cabinet on media on Friday. Sources told CBS News, a BBC's news partner in the US. The US government has also urged Americans across the Middle East to be alert and ready to leave. Jabby escalation in a region. And this post also that Trump said the US delighted that they did go against the Israel instead of Iran and leave us a military to achieve power doses as World War II. He said can't say if attack would be future for the world allies survival successful and the most possible Iran. Back on Saturday, for the US President warned that a whole civilization will die tonight. If Iran refused to engage in peace talk, he threatened to destroy civilian infrastructure and power plants and move for many would be war crime. The threat did result in historic face-to-face talks with Pakistan led by Vice President J.D. Vance. For supporters of the President, and it was a vindication of power because we often refer to Madam Ferry, result talks of Iranians. The issue with that view, however, is that five talks either without a deal, very simply too many competing red lines that cannot be reconciled, even with a threat of a civilization erasure. During 5 minutes, CBS News reporter Trump was heard while saying reporters were still in the room. Iranians very hard at some point. We're going to say we just can't take it anymore. A day later, Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman hit a call with Trump and then refused to reassure Jesus. The Catholic Affairs Israel Press Agency reported. For war honors, the Ebonites and necessity of prioritizing dialogue to reduce tension and importance of considering all possible events to achieve the truth and pathway for diplomatic solutions. U.S. Gulf allies and Caucasus fed while America might understand reach for Iranian missiles, casualties by Bahrain, Jordan, and the United Arab are not worth the critical infrastructure, such as water desalination plants being prime targets. Washington and Tehran have engaged in escalated strikes in Gaza since the ceasefire in April and reports of war fell apart in June. The U.S. spotlighted Iran ports and bombed Iranian sites while Iran has fired missiles, drones, and assets in Gaza across the Middle East, targeted shipping in the Strait of Hormuz, a vital waterway for global oil shipping. It is not an initial pressure that the U.S. president faces, according to Pew Research Center, about 6% of Americans displeased with war of Iran contributed to Trump's war popularity. Any escalation will result in increasing oil prices, further squeezing U.S. consumers, like already have at the moment. Because Americans want to vote for Donald Trump, because they don't want to get Kamala Harris in, because they want to vote to grow a comedy, but they didn't, they ended up trucking a comedy with crucial midterm elections looming. The president will know it's an international decision according to serious domestic consequences for his administration. I'm going to tell you the most topmost. Most isolated languages in the world after we played, Tip of Time by Patrick Topping on Jadapedia on Era Edit. We'll be right back. That was Terrible Time by Patrick Topping on Chatterpedia on RFM. Gotta tell you, the most major acts and name shows in the world are Korean spoken, and rather by 0 million people, far from most spoken language isolated on Earth. Basque Eurasca spoken only about 50,000 people in Spain and France. It is Europe's only surviving pre-Indo-European isolation. And you spoke by Tarama, people on Japanese island Hodoko, with a distant origins from Japanese. Burrasca speaking in the British people in Windsor Valley and Norfolk Park with no known relatives. Hadas is spoken by around 1,000 hunter-gatherers in Tasmania, featuring distinct click sounds like Sendaway spoken in a doomed region of Tasmania by roughly 40,000 people. It is an isolated, despite historic click language grouping attempts. Sunni spoken by Sunni people in southwestern United States, completely unrelated to neighboring indigenous languages. Haida, spoken by Haida Nation and Haida Gwaii, Canada and Alaska, long classed as an isolate. Perhaps spoken by Perhaps people of a Brazilian Amazon files with a unique grammatical concerns and lack of members. Mamatine Bangmi second in a single observation, but I was associated to it being an independent language geography part of Niger Congo. The fact of the day is the highest racehorse speed was ever recorded was 43.97 miles per hour, 7.76 kilometers per hour. Right, I'm going to play a final song, which is Feels Like God by Skibitus.
After tonight, I knew you were the one. Not gonna lie, you're golden like the sun.
There was Fierce Like Gold by Skilkers and Fisher for Vela on Shadowpedia on RFM. Well, Vela's set for Shadowpedia. I'll see you next Wednesday. Fierce is Shadowpedia on RFM.